4341790. You can give us a call and participate in the program. Of course, we've got Russell Arnold, the former Sri Lanka all-rounder. We've also got the legendary commentator Brian Waddle there in New Zealand. And we've just been joined by Jamal Smith, the former first-class player. Good to see you, Jamal. Of course, you can participate. We want to talk, as we promoted, the whole question of the technical challenges of the West Indies team, Russell. They want to turn to this. Because when you look at someone like a John Campbell, I mean, in the series against England in three test matches, he made, 84 runs. And he admitted when he came back to the Caribbean that he really had a difficult time against the bowlers in England. I want to spend some time, along with, of course, Jamal Smith and with Brian Waddle, to look at some of the challenges that we have in our test cricket. When you look at a John Campbell, Russell Arnold, what jumps out at you?
There's not much to say at this stage because, like you said, he's not spent a lot of time in the middle and it's been hard for him. Yeah. So he has really hasn't given you much to go on, even to say he can do this or he can't do that, to come to a certain conclusion. It really was a struggle in England. It's early days for him in his career, and he was up against some quality bowlers, these English bowlers. In their conditions, mm-hmm. they are a handful and they hunt in a pack. So they don't give you any breathing space at all. So unfortunately, Campbell was caught on the hop, mm-hmm. and he just didn't have any answers to what the English bowlers did offer. Of course, Ricardo's point is very valid. When he said that you're playing in certain conditions which are pretty easy. And I can go back to my time in cricket. When I played school cricket, I used to score lots of runs. Then it came to first-class cricket, where the step was they invited me to play from school, but I couldn't cope. I was dropped straight away after two games because of the pace in school cricket, my front foot was way up there and you could adjust. But the moment I took the next step in that same period of time, I couldn't keep up with the pace. So it took a lot of time to adjust that, to identify and move on. So what Ricardo said is perfectly true. So these adjustments against higher quality in terms of your game plan, in terms of what you can do, it can be just a minor mistake. But to come to terms with it, it will take time. So I'm a little bit pleased, since he's a younger player, that they've given him another opportunity rather than leaving him out. Of course, Shea Hope being dropped probably has helped that cause. But hopefully, he'd have learned from it and he'll adjust. For me, where Campbell is, he's got to be stronger in his mind, identify how he can cope with it and not keep making the same mistake. He's got to back himself a lot more. And that's when you can come to conclusions whether there are technical deficiencies or not. Because mm-hmm. it's just a step up and he needs to sharpen up to start with.
Mm-hmm. Jamal, technically, what is Campbell doing wrong?
Well, good evening to you, Andrew, listeners on the panel. When it comes to the technicalities of the game, I mean, John Campbell, if you look at him, you know, he's relatively easy on the eye. Russell alluded to the fact that he doesn't spend much time, but I would have been able to see him over the first class season. I saw him fashion a decent 100 as well. You know, John Campbell, he has the attributes in terms of a good enough player, you know, that may succeed at test level. But when you look at it, Andrew, his temperament is really where he falls down. You know, he plays some audacious strokes. I remember in particular going off abroad down here in the Caribbean, but you know, he plays some nice strokes, he has a nice drive, he would pull. He's probably the only West Indian batter in the top order that I can think that's very aggressive in terms of the short deliveries. But temperament and shot selection are paramount if you're going to survive at that level, the international level. And you know, it alludes to the point I heard earlier when I was listening on the radio about that kind of batsman at the top that has that stick to witness about him, just has about two or three strokes, but is able to bunker down for the majority of the day and wear down the bowlers and allow himself the opportunities to score where he's more comfortable. I don't think John Campbell necessarily has a game plan when he goes out there to bat. Mm-hmm. And I think his temperament in general is what fails him. And I think, you know, honestly speaking, There's a wider issue for our West Indian batsmen over the past decade or so. We can even go back a bit further. So for John Campbell, I don't think that he does not have the attributes that he could be a good enough player, but I think that, you know, his temperament is certainly not on song with what is required at the top of a test innings against quality opposition.
Mm-hmm. Brian, are you surprised by the talk about West Indies batsmen and the techniques? Of course, in the halcyon days of West Indies cricket, you had some wonderful players. You would have seen them over the years, Lloyd and Richards and Cally Turan and Fredericks, you know, Gordon Greenidge. But nowadays, the young West Indian batsmen are rather timid and technically flawed as well, Brian.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of it comes from playing in their home conditions. I think the important part about coming to New Zealand is being able to adjust your batting approach, and it takes batting intelligence, it takes good discipline, and I think it takes the likes of the players like Craig Blackwood, mm-hmm. Jason Holder,
yes,
and Darren Bravo, who will be the ones who have played in New Zealand conditions, and they will know what is required. And I'm sure that they will be able to show the newer young players who have a dashing approach to a certain extent, I would hence to say, about the side. And it just is something that they will have to adjust to New Zealand conditions.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to you, Russell. We spoke about John Campbell. You would have seen a lot more of a player like Craig Brathwaite. What is he doing wrong technically?
Not much, really. Because for me, Craig Brathwaite is someone who really knows his game. And he tends to hit through the line a lot, which is very good. And he's very difficult to dislodge. It's just that he needs to keep going on and on and on for the West Indies to dominate. You're not going to find a batsman who's 100% technically correct. Mm-hmm. There are more things are working for you, you're in a good zone. And for me, Craig Brathwaite is pretty much someone like that, who just needs to keep going on to make those bigger ones. So as his innings goes on, taking it to the next level is what's important from Craig Brathwaite, bringing in those bigger scores, because he tends to get all his starts. And I think technique totally comes in trying to get into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're in, it's mm-hmm. about how you're going to manage, score your runs, which chance you're taking, who you're going to dominate. So it's more a decision-making point for Brathwaite. If at all, maybe look for, create a single taking option for his game, which gets him off strike a lot more. And that can be quickly jump inside the line of the ball and work it onto the leg side. Create that line onto your body, which will allow him. But other than that, I think he's pretty sound. If he can do that to get off strike, it will help his game a lot more, and he'll breathe a lot easier when he's rotating strike a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Jamal, you know Craig Brathwaite very well. You played a lot of cricket with him. What is he doing wrong technically, if anything at all?
Well, honestly, Andrew, I think for a guy like Craig Brathwaite, technique is relative. Again, Russell alluded to the fact that he knows his game. So he understands how to score runs, as we well know through our domestic season, our regional seasons. Craig Brathwaite traditionally does very well. We've been unaccustomed to seeing him being dislodged, you could say, in test matches in the manner that he has been, say, in the last year and a half to 2 years. But having said that, he's still our best option in terms of being at the top and that guy that can rear down mm-hmm. The opening bowler. As far as his technique is concerned, you know, that little shuffle that he gives you across the wicket, I realize that he added the cut shot. He used it to probably just dab the ball down the termite, trying to be a bit more forceful to that. I honestly believe he has to hit the ball down the ground a bit more, you know, keep it in front of him a bit more, because what has happened to Craig, I think, is that he's not new to test level anymore, and obviously the bowlers have been looking, but teams in general have been looking, the analysts always at work looking for ways to dislodge these guys. And I think what's been happening is that you've seen a more aggressive approach towards Craig Brathwaite in terms of the field places and the deliveries bowled. And I find as well they don't bowl the ball at him anymore. They tend to just hang the ball around that four-fifth stump area,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get him to fiddle at deliveries. And as I said, he goes across the wicket. So from a technical perspective, you could say that there's a deficiency there. But also, In terms of his temperament as well, you know, he just has to go back to the drawing board and realize, well, I've been here before, I've done this before, you know, I definitely am a cog in the West Indies wheel, and it's just a matter of him delivering. And I think, you know, he's had a long time away from the game in terms of preparation and personal experiences and looking towards performing. And I think at the end of the day that Craig still is one of our better options at the top, and I think that he should get it right in New Zealand conditions. The ball will nip around, but he's that kind of guy, he can stick to it.
Okay, just before we go to Doctor, I just want to bring in Brian Waddle here. Brian, we expect the New Zealand bowlers to continue to be aggressive, like Wagner when the West Indies were last. Do you expect lots of aggression from them?
I don't think their style will change at all, and Neil Wagner, if he's fully fit, and I'm sure he will be, is going to be a man that will be difficult to contain. He's a very disciplined bowler in as much as he knows his strength. He knows where he can attack players. He's got great control of the short ball. Mm-hmm. He's very accurate with it. And he does test the patience of the batsman. And ego sometimes overtakes a batsman. This guy's not going to bowl short to me. I can put him away because I can play a good pull stroke. But he's a skitter of a bowler. He's very difficult. And he's been highly successful, probably the most successful bowler in New Zealand conditions in recent times. And that's what they have to be cautious of. Not to try and take him on at the wrong times, to be patient, to show good judgment, and make sure that they don't give him a sniff. Neil Wagner is the loveliest guy off the park. He's the nicest person you want to meet. When he gets across that white line, he is death. He will come at you and he will zoom in. He'll go straight for the throat. And that's the way he plays his cricket. And he's been thoroughly successful doing it. Like the West Indies bowlers of the past.
Yes, indeed. Well, I see you got your finger up there, Arnold. Is that right?
Yeah. So totally with Brian on Wagner. He comes across as someone you don't want to be around when he's on the park. It'll be short pitch bowling, that the leg side theory. As I mentioned before, he's the workhorse. When things flatten up, when nothing happens, he's the one who will turn things around with his attitude, with his aggression, and he'll keep running in. He'll surprise you with the number of overs he bowls,
yes,
and the effort he puts in. He's not very quick, but deceptive. He's a fantastic man to have in your team. Give him a seaming track, a track when it's moving around. You're not going to get anything from him. When there's nothing on, watch out.
Dr. Ford?
It'll be interesting if that's the case of reverse psychology. He isn't a very quick yes. bowler, but yet he comes off as ultra aggressive and short. And maybe people don't respect him and get surprised by what he can do. But Brian, we were talking about Campbell, and we also have Blackwood and Hetmyer. Hetmyer is even more ultra aggressive, a strike rate around 70. Campbell and Blackwood around 60. But there's a guy in the New Zealand setup, not sure if he'll be playing, Colin de Granholm, who's your all-rounder, who is extremely aggressive, but much more successful because he averages around 30, 37 odd or so. What do you think makes Colin such an effective lower order batsman with his approach compared to the aggressive batsman in the West Indian team?
He's got a good technique. He's aggressive. He's a very quiet man, but he's very aggressive out on the park. And if he can bring his discipline to bear, which is something that's come into his game in recent times, then I think that he is going to be an important cog in the New Zealand lineup. He played in the last Test match that New Zealand won against India, and he surely will be there. He was away injured for one game, but I think he's got his fitness and form back. I was just looking at a few of the stats of the domestic competition, and he's picked up some wickets for New Zealand in for his side, the Northern Districts, in recent games. So he is one of those players who just adds to the work that's done by Bolt, Southey, Wagner, Jameson, and of course that means there's no spinner. So one of those players is going to have to miss out. But I don't think it would be Colin de Granholm, because after BJ Watling, there's not much left of the New Zealand batting lineup. And I think they need Colin de Granholm there as an important part of their. He's a batting all rounder rather than a bowling all rounder, but he's a good bits and pieces player.
Okay. Jamal, I don't know if Jamal's still there, but we have to make some choices in the West Indian team. I mean, we mentioned Blackwood and Brathwaite and Campbell, but we have someone has to be left out. So the real question is, we know that Hetmyer's come back. We know that Bravo's come back, but there's also Brooks. So the question is, if you had to choose a top six for the first test, even though it's rather early, which batsman do you think you'd consider leaving out?
All things being considered, Doc, Hetmyer probably will have to miss out initially. For me, Bravo had to start. Brooks has been doing well. We're going to go with Campbell and Craig at the top, you know, but obviously the microscope is on Campbell. So I'll have to say those four. We have Jason. I personally believe that Jason should be batting at number seven in that team, even six at times, you know, just to get the balance right. But for sure, Hetmyer out of the batsman would have to miss out for me initially, and we would go from there. Ross and Chase obviously will occupy that number five slot.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But do you think that Holder batting one position up versus one down with Dalrych, do you think it makes much of a difference? Because Holder and Dalrych have made the biggest contributions to the batting lineup in the last 2 years or so. So, and they've done that at 7 and 8. So the question is, do you change what works? And would changing it make it work better?
Well, Doc, I'm from the school that believes that 20 wickets win a test match. I honestly believe that the West Indian batting lineup is not that strong on paper. You hit the nail on the head when you say that Dalrych and Jason basically are the rear guard option. I personally don't believe that coming up a number in the order would change the structure, so to speak, because we always have one or two batters in there who do not perform. You know, I personally believe in a balanced unit. I believe in having 4 to 5 bowling options that are wicket-taking options, particularly on day 4 and 5. So for me, certainly, I won't be worried about playing the extra batter per se. I'll be worried about the balance of the West Indian team, you know, to have an attack that would be able to utilize the seam up front. Obviously, the firmness of the surface would be left to be seen on day 1, day 2, what have you, and obviously looking to quicken up during the course of the test match. We also have a finger spin in there, Ross and Chase. I don't expect that the surfaces in the leader would spin that much, but certainly our Ross and Chase, we get a bit of bounce. Cornwall as well, we get a bit of bounce and probably get the ball to go over into the slips. And as always, then just for the batters, when you are challenging the outside edge. So for me, Doc, as I said, me personally, I would go 6-7, but 7-8, I don't have many problems. It's just that I prefer to go for looking for 20 wickets rather than trying to consolidate a batting position.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, just before we go back to Russell, perhaps before, in terms of Brian, it would be interesting to maybe if he can get a possible squad from him in terms of the test match. We mentioned some names there, and perhaps Brian, you can maybe make a note when we come back to you to maybe look at the possible test squad. I want to spend a little time on Shea Hope. It is true that he's not in the squad, but here's a player that, you know, a year ago, people were saying, boy, this is going to be possibly the next great West Indian batsman. We all know what he did in England, the Twin Hundreds. What has gone wrong with Shea Hope? I'm going to come to you, Russell Arnold, on this. In fact, there's some people who feel that despite the fact that he didn't do very well in England, they would have still taken him to New Zealand. What is the problem that Shea Hope has? Russell, talk to me.
I think living up to expectations and making the adjustments between formats. Yes, totally wonderful player, really underachieved. But since of late, after coming on, scoring those hundreds in England, he really hasn't been able to go on to give West Indies what they want, because he is the man. Their batting has to revolve around Shea Hope to what we have seen. For me, sometimes the expectations, they tend to wear you down. You forget what you need to do, how you're going to approach your game, and you kind of go out of your zone a little bit. It's not more it's about adjusting your mindset. And I think what the West Indies have done here is really good. They've given him some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he might not be playing a lot of cricket, but still, to watch the team play away, and then you realize, look, I can do this. I should make this adjustment. This is what I should do, and rediscover yourself. So I think that's a great, great ploy. Then having him there and having him to adjust within the system. Sometimes it's good to go out there and have a look at it from the outside. We tend to see what's happening out in the middle in a different perspective than when you're in the setup. So this is something that's been done for Shreyas Hope to rediscover his thought process, what he can do and himself. And I think he'll come back a better player. That's for sure. It's just expectations and adjusting to what's really required from him. Mm-hmm. It's just weighed him down.
Okay, we're going to look at Shamar Brooks. Of course, Brian is putting his test squad together. You can see him there. We'll come back to him pretty soon. 4341790. Of course, if you're calling from overseas, you put 1246 in front. You can certainly call and participate in Mason and Guest, and you can also send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679. So we'd be only too happy to hear from you. The lines are open as we go past 7 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time. Jamal, you know Shreyas Hope very well. What has gone wrong with this young man?
First of all, Andrew, it seems like I'm a pioneer when it comes to being a cricket analyst about the depth of Shreyas Hope's test batting. He's never suggested to me, certainly, only in the large game when he scored those two wonderful hands, but he's never really suggested to me that as far as the red ball is concerned, that he's been a force to be reckoned with. If I can remember correctly, Shreyas Hope took a long period of time before he started to actually score around the North Regional first class competition as well. To the best of my memory, about 13 years before he got his first double century. You know, I think we're always looking for a hero. I can agree with Russell on that part, that the expectations of the young man, obviously, when Shreyas Hope is on the go, I'd love to see him. You pay your money's worth, Andrew, for two covers, right? But at the end of the day, Shreyas Hope has never suggested permanence at the top. It's something that, at test level, it is something that I keep stressing on, his strike rate. Shreyas Hope bats about 80 to 90 to 100 balls. He gets out somewhere in the mid-15s to 20s. And it suggests more to me, rather than just him having to adjust his mindset or about these expectations. I believe that Shreyas Hope is technically flawed. I'm not from the school of thought that Shreyas Hope is, you know, well on his way to be the perfect batsman. I think that this opportunity he has now away from the team to work on his game personally, in particular, no delivery is just about the all stuff that Nick back to him. There's been a stat circulating on cricket for that the fast bowlers average just about 9 runs per wicket to Shreyas Hope, LBW or bowl down. That is a technical deficiency in my mind, Andrew. As I said before, Shreyas Hope looked very good when he's on the go, particularly in white ball cricket. And even there again, his strike rate is in the mid to low 70s. So, you know, the occupation increase. There's so many other factors. The white ball doesn't do as much at top. We don't operate two slits in the gully, et cetera, et cetera. It could go on Shreyas Hope. So as far as people pinning the hero or the test hopes on Shreyas Hope, I don't agree. I believe he's just as ordinary as any batsman, any of our West Indian batsmen when it comes to the test level. And I think that he has the opportunity now to work on his game. What I would say is that I think the A-team project needs to be revived. I think there has to be a need for a West Indian A-team. And the last time that we were kind of producing batsmen in the last decade that would suggest permanence or would go on, Kurt Edwards, Asad Poudre and company, I remember they were actually occupying the A-team. They came into the test team transition and they were looking okay. Obviously, or traditionally, our averages are still mid to low 30s, and that's something that needs to be worked on. So when you look at it overall, Andrew, he's never gotten his test average above 30. Roster Chase, for example, has fallen from 35 to 30 now. Craig has fallen from 40s to 30-odd. You know, we have a batting crisis, but to pick up Shreyas Hope and say that he's the creme de la creme at test level, I certainly don't agree.
Ooh, that's a big statement. We're going to certainly get some reaction. I know that Russell is going to react to that. But just before you do that, let's take our first call. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest. 4341790. Okay, we're going to, we got some calls lined up there. We're going to certainly take those calls. But the producer's telling me, let's go to Russell. Russell, you want to respond to that? You heard Jamal. He was fiery.
Yes, that's his point of view. But from my point of view, it's a team has to complement each other. You know, you need different types of players, and you have to try and make use of what you have to try and develop them. If we go out there looking for the perfect players, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You have to understand where they're at, how they feel, be empathetic to what a player can be going through and try and get the best out of him. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing. And just a case to make my point, we spoke about Colin de Granholm being very successful. Yes, under pressure as well, he scores. But more often than not, he has a great foundation to come into after the likes of Williamsons and the mm-hmm. Ross Taylors who have mm-hmm. seen the brunt of the opposition. And then you have a BJ Watling who will not give his wicket away. And when he's there, it's easier for the other batsman to go out there and express himself because BJ Watling does the hard work. So teams need to build up on players like that. And it's not all about having stroke players and who can hit a ball all the time. There are some who are the unsung heroes and they need to set things up. For me, Shreya Hope is one of those players who needs to dig in, keep absorbing pressure. Whereas if he settles in, all the other stroke makers of the West Indies can come into their own. Mm-hmm. So you need players to balance your lineup and also understand roles. You started the show on Mumbai Indians and the IPL, Andrew. Mm-hmm. That team, they complement each other. They know their roles well. They know what their next player can do. That's why they are moving smoothly. So that's another thing. Teams like Sri Lanka, who are also in a pretty similar situation, and the West Indies need to look at, get hold of what you have, and try and develop them and try and make the best of them too, rather than just looking for the perfect world. I'll just make another point to bringing Sri Lanka into it. We have the likes of Sangakkara, Jayawardena, who are legends of the past. They have fantastic numbers. And the younger players coming in straight after their retirement are expected to perform at their level. That's expectations. They cannot. Sangakkara, Jayawardena, at the same stage of Chandimals and the younger players in the Sri Lanka team, the younger players actually have better performances and better numbers. But when Sangakkara Jayawardena came into the team, there were players like Athappatthu, De Silva performing and holding the brunt. So these guys were able to settle in. But those type of opportunities are not there for the others. Sri Lanka missed out all these guys together. So expectations, they wear you down. You're looked at to fill big shoes, but not allowed to grow into it. I think Brooks is a player like that. You stick with him for now.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a couple of calls. We can, 4341790. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello, good night, sir.
Good night to you. Big voice yes, you got there, yes, big voice.
All the guests.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I came from the old school. I always puzzle when I hear you talk about, wickets are slow and you don't produce pace bowlers. Mm. Where was Colin Crawford from? Where was Ryan King from? Mm. We talk about Shepherd and those guys now. Where are they from? Guyana. Right. Where was Ian Bishop from? One of the fastest bowlers now is Gabriel. Where is Gabriel from? Mm-hmm. Trinidad. Right. India now producing tons of fast bowlers in the Indian's graveyard. Pakistan produce fast bowlers. I believe you got to want to bowl fast. Mm-hmm. Are we talking about changing courses in terms of West Indies West players? We talk about St. Louis, I can just call a few names because they will be familiar with. We should bring Rafe to sort out the problem. We should bring Eswick to sort out the problem. But yet we come back and say that these guys were at Eswick. Same time they were at Combermere and all these places. If they come to Combermere at Eswick and come to Test cricket with the fraud, what can Eswick do now at Test match level? Mm. Is that a fair question?
Yeah. And it's an interesting point. We're going to certainly get a reaction.
Right. Yeah, they come to, they would say they would come to the university on the reefer.
Right.
They come to Test cricket with these flaws. Can reefer know or know the problems that Test cricket, they can never know that university and all those sort of things. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's take another call, 4341790. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hey, Mason, how are you, sir?
Good night to you, sir.
And to your guests.
Yes.
That caller just make a good point and actually what you want to say. Now, if a coach is important to cricket, don't you think you should? Your best cricketers should be the coaches? You can't got cricketers like Desmond Haynes and Gordon Greenidge and Richards, the people here sitting down and got these fellas there. Look, you talk about hooking. Was Simmons never done a good hooker? He get hit trying to hook up in Australia. All these good cricketers that perform, great cricketers, and the West Indies board, when you watch the West Indies cricket board, the West Indies cricket board just tears it to all the average cricketers, not any great cricketers, and that will mash me up. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Can we take another one? Yes. Hello, welcome, Mr. Yeah. Ingers.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening to you. Good evening to you, sir.
Yeah, it's amazing because the previous caller was talking about coaching, and I really wanted to talk about that too.
Sure.
Because Shehu, in my humble opinion, Brian Lawrence talked about in England you have to first cover your off stump. Shehu should be batting on center stump, and his first movement should be back and across. A lot of the West Indies batsmen do not play back and across. And if they had somebody like Arlington Hunt coaching them, mm-hmm. or Tony King, they would know about dancing in the crease and back and playing back and across. These fellas should go and look at some of the videos of Tendulkar and some of these people that make a lot of runs and see how their first movement in the crease is. These fellas just and hold, and these fellas just push out the left foot. And when the ball is swinging, can knock off the off stump. I have a serious problem with the coaching in the Barbados and in that West Indies team. I don't think those West Indies coaches know anything about coaching people out the bat. That is my biggest problem. And as far as holding the bat is concerned, Shehu had a brother named Kyle. I could tell you that I can look at Kyle from my experience and knocking around top coaches. From looking at Kyle mm-hmm. playing in England, I could knock off Kyle in two overs. Kyle is holding the bat too low down and broad, and all of these fellas, all they have to do is pitch the ball short for him to fend off in his ribs or something, mm-hmm. and Kyle will make no runs.
This is Shehu.
And David, I am a non-coach, could know this.
Right.
You don't think that the coaches around West Indies cricket should know this?
Right, fair enough.
And that is my big problem. We don't have any serious coaches. Mm. Desmond Haynes and them vex that they can't get a piece. You got the women hitting across the ball. You got coaches, people that know the bat sitting down in the Caribbean. Right. And you're going to tell me that you're going to go and put average coaches to send these women up there to England to do what?
Right.
Tell us that. You don't have any pedigree in coaching.
Mm. All right. Thanks for your contribution.
I have a problem.
Oh, you do. All right. Thanks. Okay.